New positive GDP numbers are a part of several statistics that increasingly appear to show India being on a sound economic wicket, at least for the moment. At a time of great uncertainty, the India story by and large appears to be positive, though of course there are some areas of concern, as you might expect. Morgan Stanley recently published a major report focusing, among other things, on India's economic transformation. Joining us now for now more on that and a lot more on the Indian economy and where we are presently, Ridhan Desai, the president of Morgan Stanley India. Thanks very much, Mr. Desai, for being with us. Now, Morgan Stanley, in your recent report, you've said that India has transformed in less than a decade. In your mind, what are some of the key reasons behind that transformation in just 10 years?
Hey, thanks, Vishnu, for having me on the show. So I think this is down to three things. There is a sea change in government policy on some really critical aspects concerning the economy, like the build-out of infrastructure, flexible inflation targeting, and we can get into some of those a little later. The second is the natural transition that the Indian economy is undergoing with the passage of time. So we used to be, $1,400 per capita income country in, say, 2013. 10 years later, we are now at around 2,300. And that marks an inflection point. It's, you know, like the hockey stick. You start surging from here. That's the history of the world. So when per capita incomes reach that level, you suddenly find things changing. And the third is how global forces are getting aligned. And at Morgan Stanley, we call this the multipolar world thesis. So the world was organized in a bipolar fashion, where China was concentrated with global production and America accounted for bulk of global demand. The world is now getting multipolar. So production facilities are moving away from China into other places, including India. And consumption baskets are growing elsewhere, including India. So there are these three forces that have got aligned: some fruitful, strong government policies, natural transition in the Indian economy, and a multipolar world that we are now in the middle of.
How would you compare India's growth in this decade compared to the decade before this? Because, you know, we've seen GDP growth rates in India have been fairly phenomenal in the previous decade as well, you know, rates above 8%. But in this decade, they did actually come down to less than 4% even before the pandemic of 2019. So while the Morgan Stanley report says that India has transformed under this government, how does it compare with the economy state under the last government?
I'll make 2 points here. That's a very good question, by the way. So the first point is it's not about absolute growth, because we don't live isolated. We are in a planet with many other countries, and what happens to the world at large has direct impact on India. So it's always about relative growth. How quickly are we growing versus our peer set or versus the world? And the second is about, you know, all the fixing that the economy had to undergo, say between 2013-14 and 2019, due to some of the things that had happened in the preceding 5 years. So with respect to relative growth, actually, if you look at the numbers, we are now accelerating versus the world. Mm-hmm. So for example, India is under 4% of the world economy. Okay, so the world economy is sized at just about $103 trillion. We are at under $4 trillion. So we're less than 4% of the world economy. This year, we'll account for 17% of global growth. So on a relative basis, even though on an absolute basis, it seems like we have a modest growth rate of, say, 6-odd%, the relative picture is very much in favor of India. What has happened in the last few years is that world growth has also slowed down. And the world is certainly a lot challenged now versus where it was in the first decade of the millennium. Sure. Because it's aging and because it's got a lot of debt. So that's the first thing. The second is that, you know, in the aftermath of the global financial crisis, India did make a few policy mistakes. And that resulted in a pretty severe banking crisis. And it also resulted in very high inflation. Now, a lot of that took a, you know, while to get fixed. We are now arrived at a situation where I dare say Indian banks are probably the best in the world. Right. So our financial sector is, you know, has got, you know, technically it's one of the best in the world. And we have more or less nailed inflation. And, you know, the evidence of that is look at what's happening in the Western Hemisphere. Mm. The US, Europe, places which have not experienced inflation for 40 years are struggling to fix their inflation, whereas India is actually looking far more benign.
Sure.
So that is, I think, the context of, when you make a comparison of absolute growth rates, this context is lost.
Now, the report also says that India will emerge as a key driver for Asia and global growth. By when do you think that will happen? The IMF has already said that India will contribute 15% to global growth by 2023. Do you believe that that's a realistic target? Or in your own estimate, when would India actually be a global contributor much larger than we are presently?
So it's already getting there. As I cited, this year India will account for around 17% of global growth. Our estimate is that over the next 10 years, on average, India will be about 1/5 of global growth. So that's a pretty big number because the starting point, India is under 4% of global GDP. So it's clearly the incremental driver to world growth, similar to what China experienced, a decade ago, when China was the place that was driving global growth. And this is one of the reasons why multinational companies are flocking to India, because India is the place that they are probably going to get their incremental revenue growth and a lot larger profit growth.
Sure.
Because of the various conditions that I explained about India that are unfolding right now.
Your report also says that global recession is a key risk to the Indian economy. Do you think a global recession, how near do you feel a global recession might be? And what could, that potentially impact India? And, could there at all be chances of India falling into some sort of a recession itself?
So see, Vishnu, here, we are not expecting a recession in the world on a base case basis. We do think that there will be a pretty meaningful slowdown in global growth, and if you look at our estimates for the Western world or for the developed world, I would say, it is 0.5% growth in the fourth quarter of this year. So that's as close as you get to negative growth. Technically, you get recession if you have two quarters of negative growth. So we will probably skirt that at the world level. Now, India is already exporting more than 20% of its output. Goods and services put together, that number is well over 20%. So it's not going to be unscathed if there is a meaningful slowdown and a recession in the world. We will see some slowdown, particularly in goods exports. Now, the good news here is that India's services exports have surged over the last two or three years. And this is one of those rare silver linings in the COVID mishap, which is during COVID, typical MNC CEOs started getting comfortable with work from home. And if you're working from home, you're better off working in India than in Florida. It's a whole lot cheaper. So a lot of jobs got shipped to India. We estimate 1 million jobs actually came to India from overseas, and that number keeps growing. And our services exports are actually booming and have exceeded everybody's targets, including ours. So that is, I think, cushioned, and it's probably unlikely to get affected as much as physical good exports during a recession. So yeah, there will be some impact, but it will be a lot less than what other countries will face. Will that bring a recession in India? I don't think so. We are very, very unlikely to get negative GDP growth. We could get some slowdown, but that's about it. Now, the offsetting factor here is that our domestic economy stays in very strong shape. There's an undercurrent of investments that are happening in India, both government and private sector. So that will protect the economy to a great extent, even if the world slows down. However, if the world goes into a prolonged recession, then the pain will get a little deeper in India.
So bottom line, as far as you are concerned, India will remain for the foreseeable future an outlier as far as growth is concerned. The Ukraine war is going nowhere. We are perhaps, through with the pandemic, at least this phase of the pandemic. So do you actually see India being an outlier when you compare India with other economies of our size or our potential?
Yeah, I think, if you look at the major economies in the world, say the top 20 by size, India does look like an oasis, which is likely to have its own idiosyncratic drivers of growth, attracting investments from around the world. And that is a, self-fulfilling virtuous cycle that India gets into. So unless, we get a really bad election outcome with a minority coalition government or something really bad happens in the world, I think this is a very reliable base case for us to depend on.
According to the IMF, India is the fastest growing major economy, but it's also important to note that India, we have a population of 140 crores. So per capita GDP is on the lower end of just around what, 1.5 lakh per year. So holistically and not just on the basis of overall growth, how does India compare with developing economies?
So let's not mistake the fact that India is still a poor country. When your average incomes are around $2,300, it is obviously, a lot of people in India are poor. 50% of the population earns a lot less than that. The good news is that over the next 10 years, I think a lot of Indians will walk out of poverty. So as the country grows, we estimate that per capita income will cross the magical $5,000 mark, at which point the number of poor people will be far less than what we have today. And the number of rich people will grow, and the middle class will grow even faster. So middle class homes, which are currently about 60 million, will probably go to 170 million. The number of rich people in India go from 5 million to 25 million by our estimates. So yeah, I think in 10 years, India will feel a lot less poor. But yeah, nothing to take away from the current situation, which is India is still a poor country. And that, has to change. And in our estimates, will change over the next 10 years.
Mr. Desai, what is your forecast for next year? The IMF has pegged India's growth at 5.9%, which is significantly lower than the last year. Do you think our economic growth will slow down over this coming year? I mean, how do you see that assessment of where we are headed?
So there is some slowdown, and it's precisely for the reason that you cited earlier or asked about, which is that the global growth situation looks very challenged. Even though China has come out of the pandemic, doesn't look like the Chinese economy is growing much faster. And the Western Hemisphere is certainly struggling with growth. And therefore, India's growth rate will be a little slower than what we've seen in the last 12 months. Also, the base effects are now getting evened out. We forecast this number to be above 6%. So we are a little bit more optimistic than the IMF. But again, the IMF forecast may depend on what they think is going to happen in the US and in Europe. And if they are forecasting a recession there, then, they may be right. We're not forecasting a recession.
Sure.
And we rely on our global forecast to arrive at the Indian forecast. So our growth rate estimates are slightly higher, but no doubt about the fact that it is slowing down from last year. And that's primarily to do with external conditions.
Now, inflation remains, it's a pain point, obviously, for any economy, but perhaps ours as well. Your report, spoke about this, you referred to it. Last year, we were above the RBI 6% threshold for the most part. Do you think it still remains a pain point for our economy, where we are, our growth trajectory, and that more needs to be done by the government and the RBI to control inflation?
I think we have escaped the inflation problem that a lot of the world has faced over the last 2 years. And I think it's much down to how the government managed the situation on the ground and how the RBI has managed monetary policy. And it's also the effects of the cumulative work of the last 7-8 years with respect to inflation targeting. So our base case view is that we don't have an inflation issue going into the next 12 months. The likelihood is that inflation surprises on the downside and will be within the RBI's target over the next 12 months. So it will moderate considerably. So that's our base case view.
A final question. The report also spoke about India's digital transactions. And, you've said that in a matter of a few years, India will become the global leader in digital transactions, real-time payments. Could you share your vision or your thoughts on what makes India's digital payment model a global leader? And is this going to genuinely be the bedrock of our economic growth, or one of the bedrocks of our economic growth going forward?
Yeah, it is one of the bedrocks, and I would actually take this beyond just digital payments. I think the impact of digitalization goes beyond payments. It's going to go into commerce. It's going to go into how banks lend money. It's already penetrated the way the government makes social transfers. So with respect to digital payments, we are already the world leader. We are under 4% of global economy, but we are 40% of all digital payments. So we are far, far bigger than the size of our economy in terms of digital payments. The next step, and I would call this, you know, as the next leg is going to happen in commerce and the way India lends. So the whole India stack is a revolution. Mm-hmm. It's very idiosyncratic to India, and it's one of the pillars to our optimistic outlook on India.
All right, Mr. Desai, great speaking to you. I've gone through that report very, very closely. Great sense of optimism over there. Thank you very much for sharing your perspective, your views on what we need to be looking forward to and some of the concern areas as India and our economy grow. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for this interview.